Hey, this is Paul Roberts of the Security Ledger. If your company is trying to reach sophisticated information technology professionals with an interest in information security, consider becoming a Security Ledger podcast sponsor. Each month, thousands of IT professionals download our podcast to hear in-depth reporting and interviews with some of the sharpest minds in information security. To find out more about sponsoring the Security Ledger podcast, go to our webpage, securityledger.com/sponsor. Hello there, and welcome to the Security Ledger podcast for the week of July 2nd, 2018. In this episode, number 102, with the appreciation in the value of cryptocurrencies such as Bitcoin, the attention of entrepreneurs, investors, and Wall Street firms has focused on blockchain, the underlying distributed ledger technology that is used to record and verify cryptocurrency transactions. While the future of currencies like Bitcoin is anybody's guess, many technologists agree that distributed ledgers like blockchain have many applications, including, if not especially, on the Internet of Things, where the scale, diversity, and criticality of IoT endpoints and transactions makes secure identities and immutable transactions a top priority. But how exactly might blockchain enable secure Internet of Things ecosystems? To answer that, we sat down this week with Vaughn Emery, the CEO of the firm Autonomy, a startup that's making a blockchain-based security solution to protect the Internet of Things and enable secure device-to-device transactions. Autonomy's developed its own security protocol, which can validate device identity, track device reputation, and provide immutable blockchain ledgering of all transactions. The company's ICO, or initial coin offering, went off in early June to a group of pre-vetted purchasers. According to Autonomy, the company sold approximately 133 million tokens to more than 14,000 pre-cleared purchasers. Notably, that list did not include U.S. residents, given what Autonomy said was an uncertain regulatory climate in the U.S. in regard to initial coin offerings. In this conversation, Vaughn and I talk about the application of blockchain technology to Internet of Things security problems and about the Autonomy technology. I ask Vaughn about the bad rep that speculation and scams have given to initial coin offerings and the cryptocurrency space in general, and whether that might threaten to derail blockchain's adoption.
Vaughn Emery, founder, CEO, Autonomy. Why is what we've been doing in cybersecurity not quite there yet? I mean, every day we kind of get a chance to read the latest data breach or, you know, some kind of social engineering email that has tricked grandma into clicking, and now she's got a virus, you know, those kinds of things. I think it's because we have this anonymous first relationship with devices. So our computers are anonymous until when we connect to social media or e-commerce, until we provide credentials. It's that anonymous connection that allows social engineering to compromise systems. We think that the path forward is through identity, and where all devices are known and trusted. And we hope that Autonomy has a role in that. Blockchain is a lot of things to a lot of people, but for us and for those in cybersecurity, it really presents a novel improvement in technologies. Trust through consensus is one of the foundational aspects of blockchain. And we can get to what's known and what's trusted through multiple inputs as opposed to a single vendor. There's no single point of failure if you think about that decentralized infrastructure, and then the beauty of historical activity that you can then audit through machine learning and AI to determine kind of how things behave. So Autonomy is the culmination of a lot of tech coming out of Sentry and the application of blockchain technology.
First of all, when we're talking about Internet of Things, the types of implementations or deployments that company like Autonomy might have a hand in securing, what are those? Because it's early days for the Internet of Things, and kind of like blockchain, the term means all things to all people.
Sure. At IoT, really at a macro level, it's a world that's rapidly connecting through low cost, high availability devices in consumer, in industrial settings. Where we're having a lot of conversations now is in areas like smart cities, in healthcare, and industrial applications where multi-vendor devices are in, you know, on the manufacturing floor, and they're working with systems. So these are areas. Smart city is probably one that is kind of a global phenomenon. Here in Seattle, there's an initiative here to create Smart City Seattle. Most folks will recognize Smart City Dubai. It's a very popular project. And other parts of Europe, there's municipalities and governments that are really getting behind the benefit of smart cities, from synchronized traffic lights to city lights that kind of come on, first responders, utility infrastructure. All of that is getting a lot smarter. So that's really where we're spending a lot of our time. IoT is the concept that purpose-built, low-power, low-resource, high-quantity devices that do one thing, maybe one thing, and it does it for a very, very long time. So there's not a lot of extra compute power, memory in IoT devices, you know, like a PC or other forms of compute. So Sentry-built technology really designed to sit at that device, because most IoT devices can be somewhat internet-facing. They're not going to sit behind layers of security like an enterprise data center that has firewalls and all that protection in front of that data set. IoT is different. They're out there in the wild. They're connecting across mobile and Wi-Fi. So the need for a holistic security layer at the device is really, really important. Yet the device is small in resources. So Sentry-built tech that sits at the edge. It can protect the data as it might rest at the edge, as that data moves through cloud and multi-use, multi-tenant infrastructure. It remains protected. It's very lightweight. It's designed for things like one RTT. We can create a secure session in one response. Data that might live in the cloud, which is really the storage for a lot of IoT applications that we see, that data can live in the cloud with the same level of cryptography that might have existed for the data as it moves across the network. So data at rest and data in motion, the same level of data protection is applied to that data set. But it's really designed specifically for IoT and the challenges within IoT.
Talk a little bit about how this technology works once deployed. I think my listeners probably have a pretty good idea of, you know, how the blockchain functions as a distributed ledger and in the autonomy context. How does that work? How does that play out? Give us an example of a transaction that you guys might secure.
We're built on top of Ethereum. And Ethereum is really that smart contract platform that a lot of projects build on top of. And then as scale and transaction velocity becomes relevant, and other project or other platforms come into play. But we made the conscious decision when we launched the company that we were going to bet on the Ethereum community to solve some of the issues around scale and velocity of transactions. Blockchain 101, just to kind of level set to make sure that your audience is tracking here, Blockchain 101 is really data that is validated through broad consensus, and consensus are often referred to as miners in what's referred to as a proof of work activity, where trust is or truth, I guess, is determined through the efforts of the miners. And once they reach a consensus on what's true, then that data becomes rooted to blockchain in a block, linked to the previous blocks in such a way that it's immutable and it can't be changed. And then you just kind of go forward in time based on transactions. So it's essentially how we're using blockchain at Autonomy. Within our platform, we're allowing a couple things to occur. Device manufacturers can attest the validity of the device itself through a registration service that Autonomy provides. So manufacturers can move kind of into the network by registering devices based on root of trust. So there's some hardware-based or certificate-based identity of the device that allows us to validate it at the manufacturing process. One of the benefits there is black market devices would not be registered on network, and as a result, they might not be able to participate in a secure ecosystem within IoT. So we're taking a big bite out of the black market as well. Only known trusted devices can come into the network by valid manufacturers. At the point that a IoT device kind of enters the marketplace, an owner of a device, whether it's a consumer or a business, they activate it at the power on phase. So kind of the traditional provisioning step. First time you turn it on, you go through and you configure it. Well, at that stage, the device is confirmed against the original registration and then linked to the owner's crypto wallet and identity, and maybe even added to an ecosystem of other devices that owner might have. And then it's ready to use, and it can discover through marketplace protocols and interact with other devices through a trusted third party used to validate the identity of peers within the ecosystem. So a really good use case: take a smart meter on a residence that's buying power just in time. And many parts of the United States, that's not a reality yet, but it's coming. That meter can be identified uniquely by the hardware and root of trust, validated against blockchain, and then the service provider that's going to provide power just in time, the identity of that service provider can also be validated. So now we have two entities known, trusted by the network, that can engage in a secure transaction. You know, that's something that's necessary for the machine economy, where there's no human interaction, no person that is validating the identity of the devices, but the transactions happen automatically in a level of velocity that, you know, you just wouldn't want to have people involved with. So that's a really good use case.
Many of these scenarios you're describing historically have been secured with PKI, right? Just kind of traditional PKI deployments. Why not just keep using that? Is there a problem with just scaling PKI to IoT?
Well, PKI is a form of crypto and identity, and we can use certificate-based identity to establish root of trust. But the opportunity that exists is really to create interoperability across systems. Systems of devices manufactured by different vendors, so not just a single siloed system where devices can be kind of trusted by PKI, but systems of systems where the true potential of IoT or the full potential of IoT can be realized. So a manufacturer of device A can validate the identity of device B made by a different manufacturer to be known, trusted, have the appropriate reputation to engage in a transaction. Reputation is a superset of things like a credit score, service level, suitability. You know, a light switch can only turn on the lights as a fundamental example. Autonomy provides the foundation for the interoperability and the suitability of how devices can interact with each other. So PKI is just a single attribute of security. Autonomy envisions a security protocol to enable more potential for IoT.
Yeah, I mean, you guys are based on the Ethereum platform. Obviously, there are competing blockchain platforms out there, right? You kind of said, well, we took a bet that Ethereum was going to be the great one. What if that bet doesn't pay out? Or what if we end up in this sort of balkanized world of many different non-integrated blockchain platforms and a group of companies or powerful institutions behind each?
Yeah, that's a likely reality as well. So we're moving towards a multi-chain environment where the autonomy network will be compatible with, let's say, and I'll just pick a few. I'm not picking favorites here at all, but starting with Ethereum and as Plasma becomes a reality, that, you know, it's going to address scale and velocity of transaction. But EOS, Hashgraph, and a lot of other ones are very high volume infrastructure solutions designed for different kinds of transactions. So I think the future is there'll be a lot of different purpose-designed infrastructures, some more for transaction speed, some more for scale, and we'll be on all of those. We'll be on the market leaders, starting with Ethereum. We've looked at some of these others. We're moving towards a multi-chain. And there are other projects that are coming up that are kind of the broker between these exchanges. So cryptocurrency can freely move from one network to another. And I think that's really what the future state looks like.
You know, it's sort of the best of times and worst of times in some ways for cryptocurrencies and blockchain and this whole sector. On the one hand, tremendous interest, a lot of media attention, a lot of curiosity. On the other hand, you know, not all of the publicity is good publicity, and there's also a lot of kind of shady actors and opportunists, kind of speculative mentality. Things that, you know, in the information security business anyway, not too common, tend to be a little bit more staid. And as a company who's targeting a cybersecurity or an information security problem on this very hot but
controversial platform. How do you manage that and help be our blockchain soothsayer and tell us how this is all going to play out?
Yeah, that's a good point. I deal this every day, and I could not agree more that with the novelty of blockchain comes the opportunist that are simply behaving in criminal ways. And they're out there, the regulatory agencies at the federal and state level, you know, they're calling out these projects that have no basis at all. They're simply scams. But that's the nature of commerce. I mean, we can look at just about any industry, and there are individuals and organized crime trying to take advantage of those. What I often kind of comment on is the need for these protocol solutions built on top of blockchain, and the benefits of blockchain, I think, are well publicized and known by those that want to follow it. A protocol layer that is essential before the application layer can stand on top of that. Here in Seattle, with Amazon's headquarters here, I can often kind of talk about Amazon because it's a brand known worldwide.
I'm not familiar with that company. What do they do? What does Amazon do again?
Amazon? No, yeah. Well, you should go to Amazon.com. They'll sell you some books.
Amazon.com. Like the river Amazon. That's right.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Sorry.
Well,
I couldn't resist.
Without, you know, the internet, without the browsers, and without all kinds of other protocols below that e-commerce experience, you know, companies like that wouldn't be what they are today. And we think that in blockchain technology, this decentralized ledger and consensus and kind of the benefits of blockchain, we're still at the very early stage of building protocols that will enable applications at some future point. So at Autonomy, we're building what we hope to be the secure identity registry for the Internet of Things, the ability to get to identity. And I'm an evangelist in the marketplace, kind of being the voice of a practical business owner that says, look, we're real, we're legit. We have the right financing behind the company. We've actually launched the product before we've taken the next step. And that's what it's going to take. It's going to take businesses that can demonstrate that they're bringing real value, and that's coming. And then Autonomy is, you know, one of those, we hope, viewed as one of those companies that really is bringing a legitimate service to blockchain.
For your job in terms of evangelizing the company and its technology, honestly, is blockchain at this point an asset or a liability?
We would not be able to do what we're trying to do at Autonomy without the benefit of consensus through decentralized network. Don't trust one vendor, but trust many that attest to what's true. That's really, really important. This infrastructure that is radically decentralized at scale, where there's no single point of failure, where bad actors can target and bring down the network, and this immutable historic ledger. How devices truly behave gives us fantastic intel on the cyber profile. So we could not do what we're trying to do without blockchain. I think it's an asset. I think the times right now we're pioneers, and there's a lot of uncertainty. There's been crime around crypto sales that are well publicized, but we're dealing with that as well. But I think blockchain is here to stay. I really do.
One of the issues that's come up, at least in the cryptocurrency application use case, is, you know, time to resolve transactions, and it's not so much of an issue with cash, electronic cash, but obviously it would be in any kind of mission critical system that might want to use this. So is that an issue that you and Autonomy wrestle with in your use of the Ethereum platform, or is that not as big of an issue outside of the context of cryptocurrencies?
It is an issue. You know, proof of work has a commitment of time and energy in order to reach the hash and find kind of the transaction. So that's a problem. And that's likely to be replaced by proof of stake. Within Autonomy, we have a proof of authority, so we're only allowing trusted stakeholders to participate in the consensus. So yeah, it's definitely an issue. Some of these new projects are coming up such that they're solving scale, they're solving transaction velocity. In IoT, it's real time. In most implementations of IoT, back to my example of the light switch, you hit the light switch and you want the light to go on. And you don't want to delay and it doesn't make sense. In IoT, where devices are going to be buying services, whether it's bandwidth or power or other kind of on-demand services, those are all real-time transactions. We've solved much of the issue around latency through identity. Once a device is known and trusted, peer devices can discover the identity of peers, and they can determine a reputation score, and then the application that's built on top of the autonomy protocol can decide if that reputation is sufficient to engage in a transaction. A transaction can be reconciled later because we know the identity, and if somehow in that transaction a payment isn't made, reputation score can be degraded, and eventually, you know, the poor credit devices can't participate in the network. So we're solving it starting with identity and reputation that's discoverable on-chain.
And presumably much lower volume of transactions around identity than around other things.
If the devices come on, that's a one-time event from registration to activation. But once the device is in the network, it's possible that devices can have thousands of transactions within a 24-hour window. You know, an autonomous vehicle moving up and down the highway, you might get a lot of inputs from traffic signs to refueling or repowering stations, just a whole bunch of things that might happen. So that vehicle could be involved in, you know, 1,000 transactions in that span of San Francisco to LA.
Okay, so May 17th, you guys launched in beta Autonomy Network. Just talk a little bit about how people, if they're curious about this, can go out and discover Autonomy Network and see what it is you guys do.
Yeah, that was a culmination of, I'd like to say, years of work. Because some of the underlying technology within Autonomy was built by the Sentry team. The data layer, the crypto key management, and a lot of the things that power Autonomy, that's tech we've been building for years. Autonomy became a reality about a year ago, and the launch of the beta and the publish of the source code in our GitHub, you can find it at autonomy.io, that was a huge milestone for everybody involved in the project. And we've got a big team here in Seattle, and we work with a lot of others that have contributed to the project over this past year. The infrastructure is up and running on three continents. So in Europe, infrastructure's there, United States, and Asia. So we've got the infrastructure ready to go for IoT solution developers. On the other side of token sale, the tokens will be distributed, and holders of the tokens, both developers of IoT solutions and owners of IoT solutions, they'll begin to use the network through the tokens. So it was a huge event for us, a lot of effort, fantastic support in our Telegram channel and all the things around our social media properties in anticipation of this really big event.
Where we are now, that sort of the security problems of the IoT are well known. You know, as we look ahead, you know, 5 or 10 years, how do you see the advent of blockchain-based solutions like autonomies kind of changing the security conversation around the Internet of Things?
Well, I think they're going to rapidly mature because there's a lot of projects, a lot of really, really smart individuals that are looking at the application of blockchain to protect data. That's really exciting to see some of that. You know, for us, when we began this project, I used an analogy that most of your listeners are going to be well familiar with, and that's DNS. So DNS's role, as we all know, just resolves, you know, the www Amazon to their IP addresses for e-commerce. Imagine what our world would be like without DNS. How would we really remember all of these various addresses without a function like DNS? So DNS provides that third-party service for us that we've just learned to live with. You know, we hope that autonomy, you know, can reach a level by which it is a trusted intermediary for IoT identity and reputation, where it's built into these devices. The network itself is not designed to be a profit. We're building it to really deliver a necessary service to the Internet of Things. So it's what I call network cost neutral, or it's really not designed to be a profit center. We hope in a couple of years it gets to a meaningful scale and it's providing real value.
Vaughn Emery, CEO of Autonomy, thank you so much for coming on and talking to us in the Security Ledger podcast about your company and your blockchain for IoT solution. Thanks so much.
Paul, thanks so much. I appreciate the time. This was really fun. Thank you again.